As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of The Yard. It's a little cold out there. For those of you that live in the country, I hope that you dripped your faucets last night. Wasn't necessarily a hard freeze, but a freeze nonetheless. It's awfully toasty up here at Mission Control this morning. And I hope that you're well wherever you are today, no matter what you've got going on in your life. I hope things are going your way. Had the opportunity over the weekend. Some of you may be aware of this, maybe you're not. Archbishop Shaw, if you are familiar, Ryan Johnson, that played for Mississippi State years ago during the Dan Mullen era, is from Archbishop Shaw. They've been pretty much a power in Louisiana high school football for some time. They lost a state championship under some auspicious circumstances, shall we say. They had the game won. They did. And it was wild how it worked out. They were up 21-14, and St. Charles Catholic scored with under a minute to play and then missed the extra point. So you've just got to run the clock out, right? And you've got to have some situational awareness here. And it was a young man that didn't. And the video has gone viral. Basically what happens is St. Charles Catholic has two timeouts to work with. There's no way they're going to be able to stop all 45 seconds from running off. It's not going to happen. After the first down play, for one reason or another, an interior lineman throws his helmet off and begins to start celebrating. Now granted, there are still a couple timeouts left to be utilized. Well, he's flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. Well, of course, that stops the clock. So it kind of gives St. Charles Catholic a free timeout. Well, Shaw takes two more knees. St. Charles burns their other two timeouts, and they force a punt. They get good pressure off the edge, does St. Charles Catholic, and they force a shank punt. I couldn't tell. They said it was blocked. I don't know that it was, but nevertheless, it ended up being a terrible punt, and St. Charles Catholic gets the ball back, completes a pass to give a little room to work with, and then a kid drills a 44-yard field goal. The same kid that missed the extra point makes a 44-yard field goal, and they win the state championship, their third, 23-21. Now, the video of that final sequence has gone viral on social media. The young man that threw the helmet skyward that ultimately cost his team the state championship, and it never goes down to one play, but because of the timing and the circumstances of the play, it's a significant development. So with this video kind of rolling through everybody's timelines out there, there were a lot of people, of course, that had some cruel things to say about the young man. And then I was kind of keeping up with all this stuff. And just because you start thinking, man, what a weird thing to have to live with, right, the rest of your life. And it was a young man on the team at Shaw named Ron Trey Clark. He's a safety. He has an offer from Mississippi State and about a dozen other schools. He is expected to be a pretty big-time player in the state of Louisiana for the 2027 class. So Ron Trey tweets out a message of support for his teammate. So I reach out to Ron Trey and said, hey, I think your message should be amplified. I think you're showing great sportsmanship and great leadership, and that needs to be shared with other people. So I get Ron Trey on the phone, and he begins to explain to me what a great young man that Gustavo, his friends called him Gus, is, and how unfortunate this situation was, and that, you know, Gus is a big reason they're there in the first place. And he was a real leader in off-season workouts, in the weight room. He's just been a guy that gets everybody lined up. He's a senior on top of all this. And eventually I get Gus's phone number. And I text the young man, and I kind of told him some of my own story. And I said, here's the reason I tell you this is because this is not going to determine who and what you become. Like, you have a choice to make, right? And he gets right back with me, and we traded some texts. And the young man's got some other things going on in his life outside of football that are negative. Got a lot of stressors in his life. I'm not going to reveal that stuff to you. It's personal. But I shared that because, yes, the video is wild. The turn of events, wild. And yes, it did prove to be a factor in determining a state champion in the state of Louisiana. But I share that with all of you as a reminder that at the end of all of these social media videos and these things, that there are people that are involved. They're real people. It's not just, you know, a cartoon character. There's a real person there. And I plan to kind of stay in contact with Gus here for a little while, and this is not in any way to suggest that I'm, you know, something more than I am. But I think it's important for us to kind of realize, as these things develop, that the world of social media can be especially cruel, and we never know what somebody is dealing with. And when you think about the fact this is a young man that already has some incredible stressors in his life, and then all of a sudden he is known nationally as the guy that cost his team a state championship, it could be one of those things that leads to something tragic. And so my hope is by sharing this with you that maybe, you know, for a moment or two, that we can show some kindness to each other. I think those are the things that are so important. And I had somebody the other day say there's a difference between, you know, being kind and being nice. And, you know, being nice is kind of silly, and being kind is a little more, I guess, semantically correct. Sometimes you can be kind without, you know, being nice. And, you know, but I think it all kind of works hand in hand. And I share that with you because it's important to me as a person that deals with these things often, that sometimes having a laugh at somebody else's expense, and then certainly going to get on social media or message boards and things of that nature, and to draw attention to that, especially when you consider for the rest of this young man's life, he is going to have to deal with this. That video will come up probably annually. Until Shaw wins another state championship, it's something that'll make the rounds in Louisiana high school football circles. And think about the class reunions that are to come, right? I mean, do you even go, right? It's just nuts. But again, this is in no way to praise your good friend and host, but to serve as a reminder that we grew up in a different time. Most of us, you know, we grew up in a time when if you made a mistake, the world didn't know. Nowadays, you make a mistake, especially of this magnitude, everybody knows. And that's a lot for young people to have to deal with. I mean, we had a situation here in Starkville less than a year ago, you know, where a young man was the victim of one of these sextortion claims or schemes or whatever. And everything seems like such a big deal when you're a teenager. It always has. But the teenagers of today, social media at times can be the devil. And so that's not in any way to excuse the young man's mistake of throwing his helmet. Yeah, he should have known better. But the reasoning behind it was just youthful exuberance. You know, it's reaching the pinnacle and feeling like, hey, it's time for us to go celebrate our state championship. And unfortunately, things didn't work out the way that they wanted. But I share that with you just because I think it's a cautionary tale in many respects. To love and spread kindness wherever we can rather than, you know, point fingers at people. That, to me, there's some insecurity involved in all of that, right? It's like I don't have to focus on myself because look at this guy, right? So I love each and every one of you and hope that maybe we can all learn a lesson here. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We do. We've loved them as long as we've known them. It's been a great relationship because when I'm especially hungry and I'm craving a great restaurant quality hamburger, I don't have to think about my options. I know exactly where I'm going to go, and I have a great time when I do. And there's sometimes I get it to go. Sometimes it's just more convenient for me or I don't have time to sit and dine in their fine establishment. They have kind of taken to-go orders to the next level. During COVID, I think they kind of perfected the to-go order. So if maybe if you're on the run today or maybe need to have a working lunch, consider Bulldog Burger Company. They do a great job. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get the spring rolls. They will make you and everybody else better looking. It's on the menu, as it should be. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Find your own favorites. If you're a newbie, start with the Bulldog Burger. You can't go wrong. Like, if that's the only hamburger you ate the rest of your life, you would live life more abundantly. But if you want to get out there and perhaps walk on the wild side a little bit, maybe check out the Pimentology Add Bacon. Maybe get the Bryant, the Laura, and the Freshman 15. There's always something fresh and new at Bulldog Burger Company. So when you're on the way to town or in town, Bulldog Burger Company is the place for you. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. We spent a lot of time over the weekend getting to know L.D. Washington, former wide receiver coach at Kentucky. He ultimately chooses Ole Miss. And yeah, it's a frustrating development. It is. And I there's a lot of people that have like messaged me and said, why is everybody so upset? Well, allow me to kind of walk you through it. So Chad Bumpus, obviously beloved here in Starkville and within the Mississippi State fan base. And so, you know, obviously Bump's not going to be with us next year. And so the hope was, and perhaps the thinking was, is, well, we already have somebody lined up. Now, I don't know if that was L.D. Washington or not. But L.D. Washington spent some time at Oklahoma in 2022 with Jeff Lebby. And, of course, you recently hired Bush from Kentucky. Well, he spent the last year or so working with Washington, so it made a lot of sense. This is a guy that knows our head coach. This is a guy that understands our offense. And this is a guy that knows our associate head coach for offense, whatever we're calling it. It's almost like being the traveling secretary, the assistant to the traveling secretary on Seinfeld. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just he's working with the quarterbacks. But it made a lot of sense. It made a lot of sense. We get back from Mississippi-Alabama All-Star practices. Have a couple people to hit me up and said, hey, this is a guy that looks to be, you know, a priority candidate. And so he spent some time in Starkville, stayed the night Thursday night. And then Friday morning, of course, we're kind of working through all this. And I found some overlap between my relationships and his. Reached out to a couple people that know him personally. And right out of the gate, they're telling me he's not coming to Mississippi State. And that makes you pivot a little bit. But it also, because of the fact, and maybe part of it's my fault, it just made too much sense to me. I was like, this just doesn't make any sense at all. You know, maybe he just hadn't made a decision yet. So I reached out to another friend. And by the end of the day on Friday, We're told it's not going to happen. I've even shared those screenshots, those text messages over at jeanspage.com. Just because of the fact, a lot of people were just kind of angsty about it, including myself. And then, of course, you know, it's fun being the good news guy, right? It's super cool. Like when I was working for scout.com, you know, I had to out of territory. And so it's so much fun when you show up on the Arkansas message board and you say, hey, this kid has got a finalist of this school, this school, and this school. It looks like he's going to pick the Razorbacks. Well, then you're beloved, because every time you pop in, you're bringing good news. You're the good news guy. Well, then all of a sudden, when you are the, quote, bad news guy, then, well, you're an idiot. I don't know what he's talking about. Well, sometimes you do. More times than not, you do. But people don't want to accept that. And you have to not take those criticisms personally. I do my best not to. I'm human. But I understand it kind of goes with the territory. So by Friday evening, not only have we confirmed it with two people that have personal relationships with LD, that he's not coming here, we begin to find out that he's headed to Ole Miss. So I reached out to Neil McCready, who is now my network partner at 247 Sports. He was with Rivals for a long time. And Neil and I have had our moments. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I'm glad to have them on the network, to have both market leaders in the state of Mississippi on the same network. It's a great benefit to all of us. And so I said, hey, Neil, I'm just reaching out here because I hear that this guy's headed to Ole Miss. Have you heard anything? Can you confirm anything? And he's like, hey, I'm on the way back from Biloxi. I went and covered a basketball game. But yeah, I would say that's probably accurate. We get up yesterday morning, and I have somebody reach out to me and said, hey, this thing isn't dead quite yet. He hadn't made a decision just yet, still kind of working through it. And so basically I interpret that to be that his decision Friday night was Ole Miss, and then Mississippi State came back Saturday and maybe tried to sweeten the deal a little bit. I don't know that. That's just my opinion. And, of course, by end of day, he picks Ole Miss. And so a lot of people have been upset about it. You know, of course, now they didn't know LD Washington. Most of them didn't know LD Washington.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You know, from a post hole digger on the side of the road 2 days ago. And so, yeah, it's like, well, why are we upset about a guy we didn't know a lot about? At the core of it all is we have learned that Chad Bumpus is not going to be here next year. And apparently there was a plan of sorts, obviously. And then now it seems that plan may not be executed as well as we'd hoped. And so, yes, it's reasonable to have some concern about that. Now, some people, of course, get way too personal with all this stuff and go way over the top. There's a lot of internet trolls out there, you know. And it's one of those things that I think, you know, what are you doing with your life, right? There are some people, of course, as we've mentioned, that they love when situations come up where they can try to point a finger at somebody, good, bad, or indifferent. But it is, you know, kind of, quote, just a wide receiver coach, or it's not like it's a coordinator. But that understood, when you look at the youth of our returning wide receiver room, you know, you really need somebody that can help bring players with them. Right, it's not as simple as, well, it's not plug and play. And so that's an important aspect of this. We're going to have to be somewhat reliant on the portal to get us some guys in here. And, of course, you got Anthony Evans out here that through his agency is already beginning to kind of be courted and field some offers. You know, we need to be able to tell Anthony, hey, this is who's going to be coaching you. We need that guy to be able to build a relationship. Because if you don't have a good wide receiver coach in place, you could end up losing some players that you hope to get. Now, many have asked about Brennan Thompson. There's no waiver to be applied for. And so I think in the end, this may ultimately prove to be a matter of litigation, somewhat similar to Diego Pavia, somewhat. Obviously, there's no junior college years involved in this thing. But it's an important hire for us. And I think that's the thing that needs to be understood. And I think a lot of people, you know, they're going to praise or pan the hire, not knowing anything about them, whoever we get. It's just kind of par for the social media course. But we feel like we had a good read on it on Friday. And ultimately on Saturday, it proves to be what we projected it to be on Friday. And then we had that one little run there for a few hours, you know, I guess, what's today, Monday? Yeah, Sunday. We had a little run yesterday morning where we thought, well, maybe, just maybe, we kind of kept our hopes alive, only to see him leave to go to Ole Miss. And that's part of the issue, I think, as well. So LD had options to go to Florida, Ohio State, a couple other places. And so, like, if he had chosen Ohio State, I think it's a little easier to accept. You know, Pete Golding, obviously a defensive-minded coach, putting together an offensive staff over there that doesn't look to be like a Harvey Wallbanger, right? I mean, it looks to be just kind of a pedestrian-type offensive staff. There's talk about Kevin Smith is going to leave Ole Miss for LSU after the playoff, may take Kawan Lacy with him down to LSU. And so Pete Golding is just kind of piecemealing this thing together, and then he beats us on a wide receiver coach. And you look at that, and it's just, again, that just leads to more angst because, like, you know, hey, this is Levy, had a personal relationship with Washington for a year. He is an offensive-minded coach. And then he brings in Bush, obviously was a guy that has a relationship with him too. And then you lose him to a defensive-minded coach that is the head coach of your rival. And so for people saying, people kind of overreacting, maybe there's some truth in that, but there's a little reason for that. You know, it's not without some merit. So we've got to work through this, and, you know, we'll kind of see how things progress. The one thing that I don't enjoy is having to be a wet blanket on things. People get all excited about that, but it's my job to report the truth as I discover it. And it is a difficult thing. You know, working through all this, you're trying to get information that other people would prefer not be made public yet. And sometimes that information's difficult to come by. Sometimes it's difficult to establish sourcing, you know, close to somebody that's making a decision. It's a lot easier in recruiting, right? But when these are, you know, grown men with families and things of that nature, sometimes it's difficult. It is. And you may find somebody that is acquainted with them, but not close enough that they could even give you some information. Well, again, we had good sourcing on this, but it didn't work out. We're still going to play football next year, and I still expect us to have a good team. And I worked through the schedule a little bit over the weekend. And, guys, I'm telling you this as much love as I can share. We could play like the entire state of South Dakota. Like we could just play whatever institute. We could play University of South Dakota at Pierre, right? And some people would say, man, we got a brutal schedule. Guys, we live in a Southeastern Conference. Every year is going to be a difficult schedule. But I think when you look at next year's schedule compared to what this year's schedule looked like, it is a better schedule. But at the end of the day, we should not be rooting for people to lower the hurdles for us. We need to be rooting for elevation within our own program. And I think that's one of the things, kind of the old school Mississippi State mentality. You know, we're kind of hoping to have that. I'm hoping to have something of greatness. And I think Jeff Levy and his staff, whatever it fully proves to be, you know, they've got to take corrective measures themselves to continue the trajectory of this program. You say, Steve, well, we still had a losing season. That's true. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But to deny that we made progress in year two over year one is to be short-sighted and, I think, kind of willfully ignorant. We were a much better team this year. The problem was the last month of the season, defensively, we kind of relapsed to what we were in 2024. Had we been competitive down the stretch, you'd feel a little more different about that, right? We just couldn't get stops, and we've taken corrective measures. You know, Coleman Hutzler is now coaching defensive ends and outside backers at Auburn. He's no longer with us. brought in Zach Arnett, a name you know. And there's some people, obviously, that are critical of that decision. I think when you go back and look at what Zach did when he was your defensive coordinator, and even in 2023, when Matt Brock was your defensive coordinator, who also is coming back to Mississippi State, I think we can say, you know what, we didn't have to worry as much about defense when Zach Arnett and Matt Brock and or were calling the plays. And so the hope is that you bring Arnett and Brock in and give them the autonomy of the defense where Lebby never has to worry about that. And we could just be, even if we're just middle of the road, you're probably picking up another win or two. You don't think Zach Arnett would have won that fourth quarter against Texas? I feel fairly confident that he would have. Of course, it's all just conjecture. But the reality of it is that Zach Arnett is tainted in many respects because of how bad things were when 2023. And you can say, well, you know, Steve, he didn't coach the offense. No, he didn't, but he made the decision to change the offense and brought in Kevin Barbe, and things just didn't work out. What Barbe wanted to run just did not in any way whatsoever lend itself to the skill set available to Will Rogers and the people around him. And it's so interesting, too. People argued and argued and argued that Will Rogers wasn't a system quarterback. And then we changed the system, and then Will kind of had a regression. And I think a lot of it's because we asked Will to do things that maybe were not in his wheelhouse. I'm not blaming Will Rogers. He ran the offense as it was installed. It just wasn't really good. And so, yes, Zach Arnett deserves ultimately all the blame for 2023 because he was the head coach. But I think bringing him back in a role that he was very successful here at Mississippi State makes a lot of sense. And I think it says a lot about Jeff Lebby to be able to rehire the man that he replaced. And it says a lot about Zach Arnett for, like, you know what, hey, I'm willing to go back there. I'm willing to go back there. And Zach loved it here. I can promise you that. Man, Zach got involved with kind of the deer hunting community around the greater Starkville area. And, you know, Zach's a good guy. And so we'll move forward with all this stuff. But and for those people just kind of panning Jeff Lebby right now, I just ask you to take a break. You know, just take a bit of a deep breath and let's look at where we've come from 2-5. And the reason we're all so angry about finishing 5-7 is because Florida, Texas, and Tennessee were right there for the taking. You think, you know what, if we just get one or two of those, we feel great about our program. And, yeah, we're going to a bowl game. But let's be honest about that, too. You know, you can say, you know what? Yes, Steve, technically Mississippi State deserves to be there. But we didn't earn bowl eligibility. We were kind of gifted that. And that's not me being negative. We're just going to kind of call it for what it is. I'm happy to be in the bowl game. Matter of fact, I interviewed the communications director from the Charlotte Sports Council. And ran that story last night. So there's some things, you know, it's, you know, the Duke's Mayo Bowl welcomes Mississippi State to kind of give you some ideas on game day, what to expect. And if you're going up maybe for a couple days, some other things that are going to be going on in the area. It was very kind of them to make some time for us. But I am jacked. They're here in about 3 weeks. We're going to be making the trip to Charlotte to go watch Mississippi State play another football game to see Kamario Taylor have an opportunity to go get another win for Mississippi State and kind of give us some juice going into next year. You know, we'll have, you know, Jeff Lebby and select players this week in a media availability. We're looking forward to that. And, you know, excited that it is still football season here at Mississippi State. But I don't believe that the hiring of a wide receiver coach is going to make or break us. And Jeff Lebby's not going to be ultimately judged by a wide receiver coach. That is no way to diminish the importance of this hire. It's going to all be about wins and losses, though. And the sooner that we get a hire made, the more equipped we're going to be to kind of attack the portal once it opens the day of our bowl game. You know, we can do some pre-portaling, obviously, and begin to, you know, kind of do some cut-ups and kind of have an idea of who we want to target and bring in for visits. We're doing that work now. And so when you have a wide receiver coach, he's going to have some relationships as well that hopefully we can utilize to add some playmakers, to this team. But, you go back and look, we didn't use a lot of guys this year. We didn't. And I think long term, this is going to catch up with you, right? You got to be able to develop some guys. And of course, Aiden Williams, a bit banged up early part of the year, kind of emerged as our primary third receiver. We were hoping Ricky Johnson would take a jump this year. That didn't really happen, didn't really materialize. But you've got some very young talent. We just got to refine that a little bit and get more production out of them. But, again, just like the last couple of years, we're going to have to go into the portal and go try to find some playmakers to ensure that we do earn a bowl next year and that we are able to put a winning season together in 2026. But that's kind of how it all kind of came to be. And at the bottom line of it is we're still in search of a wide receiver coach here at Mississippi State. It is time for our Close with Blair Player of the Day, brought to you by Close with Blair. Visit the website today. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. His phone number, since we're all friends, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Blair has been in the mortgage industry for 25 years. Nobody stays in a meat grinder of an industry like that without being successful. Blair knows the ins and outs of the underwriting process. He can be your advocate with the underwriters. He knows how to structure loans in a way to give you the best chance of approval. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo that could prove to be more affordable than you think, Blair's the only name to know. Got his own Fairway Mortgage franchise now. It's the guy that's getting things done. Be sure to hit him up today. You'll be glad you did. Blair Chandler, closeofblair.com. Our player of the day, a little bit of a curveball today, is Blake Shapen. Blake recently selected to play in the Hula Bowl out in Hawaii. That should be a great experience. We're appreciative of Blake Shapen and his contributions to Mississippi State. Certainly had some injuries during his time here, and that's kind of been par for the course throughout his career. But a young man that worked very hard for Mississippi State just didn't win enough and would have helped out a good bit if we'd had a little better defense down the stretch last year. But we're appreciative of Blake Shapen and wish him the best in his future endeavors. Your Close with Blair Player of the Day. Now it's time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by Calido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O, guitars.com. That is a stringed instrument outfit, a guitar shop. They specialize in guitars, but do a little bit of everything out of Lake Jackson, Texas. It is a Mississippi State-owned and operated outfit. Owned by Bulldogs, managed by Bulldogs, run by Bulldogs. I think we should support each other as Mississippi State business folks. Number one, help small business. But when you spend money with a Bulldog business, there's a good chance some of that money gets into the Mississippi State coffers. And that's the case when you do business with them. Whether you're looking for an electric guitar, an acoustic guitar, perhaps that 12-string classical guitar, maybe you need a banjo, maybe you need some other stringed instruments, a ukulele. I don't know your needs, but they can be met at KalidoGuitars.com. And then all the accessories that go along with it, cases, gig bags, cables, strings, and your guitar, your instrument is going to be set up professionally, right? It's not just going to be somebody goes and grabs a box in the warehouse and slaps a UPS label on it and calls it a day. They're going to take that guitar out, and they're going to make sure it's set up properly for you. I love my Steve Vai original signature model guitar. It is incredible. It's the best-sounding guitar I've ever had, and getting to play a little bit more now that my arm is feeling better. Very happy about that. But there's a guitar player in your life that maybe needs some new gigs, and maybe the next step in their development comes with a better guitar. So give the gift of music this holiday season. Be sure and check out KalidoGuitars.com and use promo code BSR. You know that well. That gets you a 10% discount off their already low price. That gets you free shipping. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And then they will make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. What could be better than that, right? KalitoGuitars.com. All right, today's top 10 list, and we've done some varieties of these over the years, and different songs kind of hit my mind, but it is cold, and so we're doing top 10 cold songs. Top 10 cold songs. A lot of guitar in this one. Number 10, it's the song Cold from Korn. Many of you love Korn. I love Korn. You probably are no surprise by that. And I used to tell Dana, I need to get a shirt made. Like, we go to Rocklahoma. Thanks, Mark. And people would, the drunker they got, the more I looked like somebody from Korn. And I guess there's maybe some truth in that. But I'm not in Korn, in case you didn't know. But I dig Korn. And there's a great song called Cold from Korn that is kind of vintage in some respects. It's like the old school Korn sound, even though it's a little different, more modern, I guess, offering from them. It's off the Nothing album, which is kind of a wild ride too. You know, Head's been back for a while and kind of getting back to that quintessential Korn sound. Number 9, a band that maybe you're not quite as familiar with. They're a little more commercial. They're a little more radio friendly. You know, they play them on Octane, but you could probably just play it on rock radio. Pretty cool little band here. And it's You, Me at Six. That's the name of the band. They've had some hits. If you listen to Sirius XM Octane, you know them well. And we're going to go with the track Cold Night. Cold Night from You, Me at Six. It's not very heavy, so for those of you that have delicate ears, and maybe listen to the song Room to Breathe. That's probably their breakthrough. Number 8, one of the best rock bands of my lifetime, and I've had the honor of meeting them. Matter of fact, I've got an old bucket hat that I retired after they signed it, sitting to my right over here. It's Seven Dust, and it's from the great album Black Out the Sun. Now, my favorite Seven Dust album is Cold Day Memory, right? And I think it's a classic. I told LeJean the same thing. I think that album is just absolutely masterful from start to finish. But Black Out the Sun has a great song on there called Cold as War. And if you love Seven Dust, you're going to love this song. And I would encourage you, too, if you're just looking for like an album to listen to you're not quite as familiar with, this is the one to go with. Number 7, had a chance to meet these guys at Rocklahoma too, Trivium. This may be their signature song. They've had a lot of big hits on Octane. They're on the Biggins Countdown regularly. It's Until the World Goes Cold by Trivium. That's your number 7 track today. Now, kind of sticking with that theme, number 6, and I love the fact that Adam Gauthier is back with 3 Days Grace. They've had a string of number one hits that I don't know that people fully appreciate. You know, Shinedown and 3 Days Grace kind of trade spots at the top of the list of number one rock songs of all time. But going back to some of the earlier days of 3 Days Grace, it's World So Cold, Living in a World So Cold. Number 5, a classic rock song and a classic rock band. And I don't know that this band gets enough recognition within the current generation. Like, everybody knows, you know, Zeppelin and Motley and Rat and bands like that. But this is a band from the late 70s, really throughout the 70s, doing some great things. Even after Ronnie James Dio left the band to go and join Black Sabbath, Rainbow continued with Ritchie Blackmore, of course. Ritchie was in Deep Purple, and Ritchie, a huge, huge, huge catalog of music. But it's a great track from 1982 with Jolynn Turner on vocals called Stone Cold. And it's about a young lady in a relationship. But nevertheless, I think if you spend some time kind of getting to know Rainbow a little bit better, I think it would maybe improve the quality of your listening experience. All right, number 4, and we've done a top 10 list on this band before, and I know we've featured this song before. I absolutely loved the vocal on this, and it was a Sirius XM mainstay for a long time on the Octane channel. It's Evans Blues classic track, Cold, But I'm Still Here. That may be my favorite Evans Blue track. And if you don't know Evans Blue, you should. Number three, and this band has kind of come and gone a little bit, and this was their kind of breakthrough hit. It's Crossfade, Cold. Never Meant to Be So Cold. Great, great rock song. That whole album is really good. I mean, there's some real high points on it, and a couple songs that are a little, maybe less enticing, but that Crossfade debut album was great. Now, some classic rock to close us out here. Number two on your list, and anytime that we can work in the majesty of her queen, we should, and the glory of the great Freddie Mercury, it's Stone Cold Crazy, which was actually covered by Metallica on the Elektra Rubaiyat album, which was kind of like a celebration of Elektra. And so what they did is everybody that was on the Elektra label had the opportunity to cover somebody else's track, and Metallica picked Stone Cold Crazy. I like the original better because it has Freddie Mercury, but Metallica did a great job on this. That same album had Faster Pussycat doing Carly Simon's You're So Vain, which I think is one of the covers that probably you never saw coming, but it worked so incredibly well. But, you know, shout out to Queen and Stone Cold Crazy. But number one, and this band is now touring with no original members. And I don't know how you feel about that. It just seems kind of weird to me. It does. Like, Foreigner toured for years with Mick Jones, and Mick has just reached a point with his health and in his life that he can't do it anymore. They've made a change at vocalist again, and but Jeff Pilson, obviously, who got famous from his time with Dokken, has been with Foreigner forever and a day, it seems. But Foreigner back out on the road with no original members. It just, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm glad those songs are still being played. I mean, I love going to see live music, and I even love a good cover band. And there's so many bands out there that that do a great job. But Foreigner's Cold as Ice, your number one track. So, and Lou Gramm's out touring too. You know, Lou has been a guy too that has had some vocal issues later in life, and you know, still out there doing the best he can. And some people, of course, we talk about the social media stuff at the first part of the show. People are like, man, why don't they give it up? Well, a lot of them can't afford to give it up. Okay, but number two, they're doing this because they love performing and they love sharing these songs with all of us. If you don't want to go, you don't have to go. But to get on Facebook and Twitter and think, well, these guys should just give it up. Get over yourself. I mean, you're not that important, right? Nobody's holding a gun to your head saying, hey, you're going to see Lou Gramm play. And, you know, Lou's past his peak. All these guys are past their peak. All these guys from our youth. But for many of us, we still enjoy going and being in the same room and hearing the original artist perform these songs, even if it's not, you know, the quality that it once was. And listen, there are some guys that stay around too long. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I got some friends in the music industry that, you know, they spent up their money. You know, a lot of it went up their nose. And so they're out having to pay for private school. They're out having to pay for college for their kids and things of that nature. And so at the end of the day, I don't know why it's a problem for so many. You're like, I just don't understand. You don't have to understand. We're not conducting an opinion poll. You vote with your attendance or your, you know, vacancy. I mean, you don't have to go. And so I share that just because, you know, a little bit of a rant, I guess, in some respects. But I don't have a problem with it. I know, again, there have been some people out there that have not been smart with their money. And they don't have any other appreciable skill. You know, what are they going to do, cut their hair and go sell insurance? You know, I mean, it's like when you are a rock performer, the way that you feed your family is to go play rock shows. There's not a lot of classic rock bands recording new music. You know, Guns is putting some stuff out there. It's not like it's just rocketing up the charts because people see them as a nostalgia band. You know, had these discussions with some friends of mine, you know, and other bands, and they're like, you know, hey, we put a single out. That's the way you do it these days. You put a single out to remain somewhat relevant, but nobody is going to go spend millions of dollars unless they're spending their own money to go record a full-length feature album, which is not how music works these days. I mean, even Billie Eilish, right? And my wife loves Billie Eilish, and I like some of her stuff. But I saw an interview with her recently, too, that, you know, she's had diminishing record sales the last two albums. So there's not another album, like, around the corner. And she's out touring, and she's playing, and she'll release a single every now and again. But the music industry has changed, and people are not willing to go make the big investment anymore unless many of these records are self-financed. And I had somebody tell me, I think the numbers on it, 2 million streams, you make about $10,000 to get 2 million streams. Like, if you go out, I mean, you think 2 million streams seems like a lot. It's not like the days when we'd all go line up at Camelot Music or Sound Shop and go pick up a record, and all of a sudden they get a few points on that and make some money. So it's a lot more difficult these days for musicians to go out and make money, and so they have to do it with live shows and merchandising sales, because there's just not a lot of money to be made in making records. So hope that helps. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanthi on Axe at Dogmatic67. Roy is my friend. That's DAWGMATIC67. They cleaned out their balcony this weekend at Davis Wade Stadium. Happy to say my youngest D and his friends went and helped. But you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle, Dogmatic67. And you can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Mom, you got 10 days, really 9 days, 9 shopping days until Christmas. You've waited long enough. So hit the great folks up at Campus Bookmart. Stop by and see them next time you're in town. You need to make that trip sooner rather than later, because we want more Mississippi State merch. I'm just telling you on behalf of Bulldogs the world over, you want to make Christmas a special event for us. Short of buying us a car, we want more Mississippi State merch. We do. Make it simple. Whether it's that fashionable new quarter zip, a pull-up, a button-up, pull-over, whatever. Whatever you need to detail out your fan cave. Everything you need for the Mississippi State fan in your life, you can find at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town, visit them at campusbookmart.net, courtesy of Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net. Promo code BSR works for you. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Mom, go ahead and buy yourself something too. Nobody's going to care, and chances are nobody's going to know, especially this time of year. But Campus Bookmart, your one-stop shop for all things maroon and white. Campusbookmart.net for all you online shoppers. Let's talk a little basketball. How many of you, let's be honest here, how many of you gave up on Mississippi State at Utah? I'm going to be honest with you, I did. I did. It was very frustrating for a while. Bulldogs down 10 at the break and then storm back. Man, it's crazy. You know, Josh Hubbard played in a game, and we weren't exactly sure what to expect, right? Everybody saw what happened in Tupelo. What a great job Josh and the medical staff on the Mississippi State basketball side did. Josh ends up playing 30 minutes in this game. He wasn't quite right, but he got out there and played, and just having him out there as a threat is big. He goes 6 of 18. It's not a great shooting night, just 1 of 6 and beyond the arc, but 13 points for him, and he handed out 4 assists. But not quite right, but he played through it. Says a lot about Josh. Team really needed him. And again, Jaden Epps stepping up again. I mean, how big has he been for Mississippi State? 20 points in 34 minutes of action. He was 8 of 15 from the floor and 3 of 9 from beyond the arc. Got in a little bit of foul trouble, but still led Mississippi State in minutes and in scoring. Quincy Boward, just 6 points for him. But the story of the night, Jabari McGee. 29 points off the bench. You talk about, we always talk about a next man up mentality. Well, here it is. Here it is. Jabari McGee steps up 5 of 7 beyond the arc. I mean, it just felt like when State made their run, Jabari McGee always seemed to find a way to get open and knock down big shots. Huge, huge, huge night for him. A career high for him. 11 of 16 from the floor. And it's not like he did it from the line. He was just 2 of 2 from the free throw line. State didn't get to the line much in this ballgame. Just 9 free throws attempted for the Bulldogs. But, again, you never know what to expect from this team. You lose that game to San Francisco, and I think a lot of it, too, is the shock of Josh Hubbard getting hurt. But the Bulldogs come right back and play a big game on the road. And maybe this could prove to be a turning point for this team. I mean, you're 5-5 now. Got a chance to close out non-conference here in the next couple of weeks, maybe go on a bit of a run. But, you know, kind of looking back at these numbers here, you know, State shoots 41% in the first half and then 61% in the second half. Sioux end up right at 51% for the game. 10 of 25 as a team from beyond the arc. But again, those 39 points off the bench and then 46 points in the paint proved to be a much needed contribution, to say the least. Now, Bulldogs back in action Tuesday night. That's tomorrow night in Humphrey Coliseum against Long Island. That's going to be a 6:30 tip. You can watch, of course, on the SEC Network Plus. But we encourage you to come out and be a part of this if you're in the area. But it's, you know, we'll take a quick look at these guys now. But we just need to win the basketball game. And that's kind of how we felt last week. Not overly optimistic about going to Utah and winning, but we win in very dramatic fashion. And, again, I think this could be a turning point for this team. All right, the fine folks from Long Island, they are 6-4 but have won 2 in a row. They are 2-1 in home games and have played 7 games away from their home arena. They opened up the year losing to Notre Dame by 22 there in South Bend. And then they get beat by 4 by IU Indy. Yeah, that's University of Indiana or Indiana University. Indiana University in Indianapolis. They lose that game. They win that game by 4, pardon me. And then they beat Air Force 76-72. They get James Madison. So a 3-1 start to the season. And then they go to the Bronx and lose to Fordham by 16. They go to Illinois. No shame in losing there. And they lose by 40 in that game. 98-58. They go to Missouri State. They win that game by 14. And then lose to Winthrop in a barn burner of a game, 94-92. They go to Lehigh, win there by 5. And then they beat LaSalle 70-60. So, again, 2 games in a row that they have done a good job here. And now they'll head to Starkville, Mississippi to take on your Bulldogs. Kind of look inside the numbers here, see what we can learn about these guys as they come down here and get ready to play. Expecting a win for the Bulldogs, but you know, we have learned we can't assume anything. So because of that big blowout loss to Illinois, some of the numbers are somewhat skewed, but this is an operation that's scoring 76 a game and giving up right at 80. So you're getting outscored most nights, but you know, here you are. Shooting about 48% as a team, they've allowed 47%. Not a great free throw shooting team, right at 63%. So putting them at the line is, you know, could be an advantage. They haven't been terrible at 38%. When you get them around 40, you feel pretty good about life a little bit, but things just aren't working out quite as well. They're being out-rebounded by a couple of boards a game. Team basketball has been more evident with the opponents. It's about the same, but about 10 more in favor of the opponents, 130-139. They have turned it over a good bit, too. Turning it over about 15 times per game and enforcing just 14. So it's a 1.2 differential. But you got to think the athleticism that we possess maybe will elevate that number a little bit. They have been pretty handsy with 90 steals on the year, 53 blocks. And then we get a little individual numbers here for you. Malachi Davis wears double zero. Leads the program with 15.8 points a game. He's also pulled down 30 boards. Has a 17 steals on the year, which is second most. Greg Gordon 15.5 points a game. Also pretty heavy on the glass there. Second on the team in rebounds with 47, but has also handed out 30 assists and leads the team with 22 steals. He wears number two. Jamal Fuller is a guy that's been a little bit in and out of the lineup, 14.7. And that's all three of the double-digit scorers. From there, there's a fairly significant drop-off. Jomo Goings is right there at 8, and he has been somewhat of a regular starter for them. But simply put, Mississippi State's athleticism, Mississippi State's ability to play at Humphrey Coliseum, and the home court advantage that you all provide should be enough for us to win this ball game and get back over 500. And again, it's been a very interesting non-conference slate for the Bulldogs. We knew it was going to be somewhat challenging. We never thought we'd be 500 10 games into this thing. We've got some meat on the bone here. And as you guys know, one of the bigger games that we've had non-conference-wise in a while will take place on Saturday against Memphis. So two opportunities to see the Mississippi State men's basketball team in person in Starkville this week, Tuesday night, 6:30 against Long Island, and then we'll host Memphis and then close out the regular season two weeks from today, against Alabama State, close out the non-conference portion of the regular season. And next thing you know, it's New Year's, so we get the holiday break, come back against Alabama State, and then we're in SEC play. So just three non-conference games remaining on this portion of the schedule, and we need all three of them. We absolutely do. And, you know, Memphis is Memphis, and Penny and those guys are always going to have dudes. That's where we're going to need you to kind of help step up and maybe power the Bulldogs to a win. You win these next three, you start feeling a whole lot better about life. And that's not a hot take. Everybody sees it for what it is. But maybe we're turning the corner a little bit. Maybe that's the case. And that's the thing about winning on the road against Utah. A team that's had a pretty good season so far, you win that game, all of a sudden, even without Josh being 100%, it gives you a little bit of an igniter. Mississippi State women's basketball continues to win. Lady Bulldogs 10-1. They've now won six straight. And we felt like this Southern Miss game might be a bit of a tussle. It turned out it was not. Great job by the Lady Bulldogs. 87-64 winner. Southern Miss entered the game with a 7-3 record. And Missy Bilderback doing a great job down there. But, man, State comes out and just punches them right in the face. State 21-10 after one. Then you get a 19-18 second quarter. So the Bulldogs making some big things happen here. It's 40-28 at the break. And just when you thought, okay, well, maybe some halftime adjustments will change things, it didn't. State puts together their best offensive quarter of the day, 28-14 over Southern Miss in the third quarter, and it really kind of ruled the fourth period somewhat academic. Southern Miss actually outscored State 22-19, but the Bulldogs win 87-64, and again, it just never felt like State was in any trouble. Haley Breland with 24 points for the Golden Eagles, 3 of 7 from beyond the arc, leads them in scoring. But on the Mississippi State side of things, career game for Favor Nwadazi, 21 points, 23 rebounds. Points in the paint were a big part of this one. She goes 10 of 17 from the floor. Got in a little bit of foul trouble, but played through it and ends with just three. Had one block, Chandler Prater with 18 points. Destiny McFall with 14. Triana Crisp with a dozen. So four Lady Bulldogs in double digits in this ball game. But some good work from the bench, too. You had some scoring from down there, too. It wasn't like on the men's side, you know, when you had McGee just kind of coming up there just, you know, ringing the rafters. But Madison Francis with 7, Jayla Lampley with 8. But you go back and look at this, man, it's just State shot even better in the second half. I mean, you come out and play so strong. And even though you get that big lead early, State didn't shoot it especially well. They put a lot of shots in the air. Just 8 of 21, though, and you get into the second half, and in the third quarter, State's 55%, and the fourth quarter right at 54%. Bulldogs 47.1% from the field, and right at 43% from beyond the arc. You didn't really need it. Free throw shooting wasn't great. I mean, we're just kind of picking it apart here now, but 52 points in the paint. That's a very significant differential right there. 19 points off turnovers, 22 second-chance points, which is product of offensive rebounding, as you guys are well aware. But State with 55 boards in this game, Southern Miss with just 30. When you can rebound and shoot, you're going to win basketball games. That's an oversimplification of things, but that's the reality of it. So the ladies now, again, 10-1. And I see some people out there that are not quite believers yet. Here's what I would say to that. I'm always, always, always expecting Mississippi State to win something, right? And I read something today on one of the Facebook groups, and somebody's like, oh, they're going to get blown out in non-conference play. Number one, you don't know that. And number two, we could very easily be 11-0 right now. Again, that loss at Texas Tech, we lose that game by 7, but we came out right out of the gate. We just went cold for a little bit, and that's going to happen some nights. Ladies back in action on Wednesday against Alabama State, and then Saturday be a morning tip in Philadelphia as the Bulldogs make the trip to LaSalle, and then we'll get Samford to close out non-conference on December 28th. So there's 3 non-conference games left, and you got to feel like State should be in a great position to get all 3 of those, and then you go into SEC play with a 13-1 record. And again, I don't think most of us knew what to expect from this team, and we knew this non-conference schedule was not especially challenging, but we are winning games the way we should. That's the thing that I go back to. It'd be one thing with this non-conference schedule if we're just kind of eking by, but you look at the last 3 ball games. You beat Pitt 79-44, 35-point blowout. Then you blow out Charlotte by 30, and then you get Southern Miss by 33. And again, this isn't a bad Southern Miss team. We think they've got a chance to go out there and compete and do really well in their league. But we're hammering these teams. It's not a scenario where we're just, struggling. And so I think it's fair for you to kind of put your belief behind Sam Purcell and Lady Bulldogs and get excited. I mean, I'm not saying that we're going to compete for a national championship, but I think it's fair to say that we are ahead of schedule from what many of us expected us to be this year. And it's okay to have a little Bulldog belief. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without any question. Especially when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. You've always thought about how nice that would be, how fun it would be. Well, it is. We've stayed there. We stayed there for New Year's last year and had a blast. Because it's all the in-between moments that mean so much. It's not just going to the ball game. It's not just going to dinner. It's just kind of sitting around and catching up and showing interest in each other's lives. And I would encourage you to do that. You probably owe it to your parents. Let's be honest, you're not getting any younger. You need to make some memories with them while you can. Mom would love to have everybody under one roof. She'd love to cook for you, but, I think it'd be nice if you took her out to dinner, Maybe you owe it to her. Let her make those cinnamon rolls for you in the morning, and maybe that'd be the extent of Mom's contributions other than her love, right? Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates, and you can see pictures of all the amenities that are available to you and your guests, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, that huge back porch area. The fire pit area, you're going to need that this time of year. And, of course, plenty of parking. It is the old renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands. Very easy to get to, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. If you're coming during a ballgame weekend, you can do your tailgating right there. Save yourself all the trouble of going back and forth and just have a great time with the people that you love the most. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to pop up for you, too. You can Airbnb, VRBO, you can go that route if you want. Maybe you've got a credit. I don't know. But if you want to save some money and you don't have a credit, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10, BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay. So the premium place to stay in the Golden Triangle, whether it's a work group, a friend group, or a family group, is available to you at a discounted rate just by being a listener to this show. Be sure and check it out today, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Okay, we are 2 months away from the beginning of college baseball. 2 months. Thought we'd talk a little baseball today. The preseason polls will be coming out here in the weeks ahead. There have already been some, like, two early polls. We're going to go kind of look at one of those and just kind of give you a few thoughts. You know, this was kind of mid-fall, I guess. But it's interesting to kind of see how other people view Mississippi State. And, you know, the season opener, February 13th. February 13th. We'll play Friday. That's Valentine's Day weekend. That's typically when it is, against Hofstra. And so we look forward to that. It's going to be 4 p.m. 4 p.m. Go ahead and plan ahead, because every year we hear about this. Well, they don't think about working people. We're thinking about you now and telling you the first game of the Brian O'Connor era in the history of Mississippi State, February 13th, 4 p.m. Go ahead and request off that day or plan to knock off early. So we hope to see you at Duty Noble Field. Let's take a look at the Baseball America's two early rankings. So they number 25 on their list is Texas A&M. A lot of people think that they're going to be better in 25. Some of that's just getting Gavin Grahovac back. Caden Sorrell was also banged up a little bit last year too. Mike Early, first year in many respects, was a bit of a disaster. They put a few things together a little bit later in the year. I think 25 may be a bit lofty considering what they have coming back, but you know, they did get in the portal a little bit, and it's just kind of tough to know what's going to happen. But you know as well as I do, Early is coaching for his job this year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. They've got Ole Miss at 24. Of course, Ole Miss hosted a regional, lost that regional. Not going to have Luke Hill, Mitchell Sanford. They do have some other guys coming back. Judd Uddemark, obviously, big year for them last year. Austin Folley, of course, had a couple big hits against Mississippi State last year. So it looks like, you know, there's a nucleus of players returning, most notably Hunter Elliott. It feels like he's been there forever. Of course, you know, I don't know what his pro prospects looked like last year. I don't know what they were willing to offer him. But he's back at Ole Miss for another run, and it's something that we'll watch this year with the pickoff move to first. There were some of those last year were obvious balks, but they don't get called. But that's how it's coached, and that's what the coach is going to – is going to coach players to do what officials are going to let them get away with. Everybody pushes the envelope. Nothing wrong with what they did. Coastal Carolina played for a national championship. They are 23rd in the early poll from Baseball America. Now, Kevin Schnall was a candidate for the Tennessee job and then ultimately didn't take it, which is one of the reasons I think Josh Ellender got the job. There is some chatter out there that if things – with Coach O'Sullivan and Florida don't settle, that Schnall may be the name to watch there. And Coastal, obviously, has put together a really good mid-major type program. And unlike a lot of other mid-majors, they don't lose a lot of players. Shows they have some good culture there. We'll see how things go. Arizona State comes in at 22nd. Bulldogs certainly aware of them. Great coaching staff there. Great baseball pedigree there. Got knocked out of the UCLA regional last year. We do think they'll probably take a step forward and maybe even contend for the Big 12 this year. Florida there at 21, and they got knocked out of that coastal regional. I really thought down the stretch that they were playing as good a baseball as any, and they kind of just tanked there in the regional. But a lot of pieces back for this team. What you'd expect. The weekend rotation should be as good as anybody's in the country, at least the first two pieces. You know, they'll find a third starter. They always seem to. Kyle Jones, of course, guy that we chased for a while that ultimately went to Florida and then got injured and missed the year, so he'll be back. And Cade Kurland, obviously, is one of the better stars in the country. So, you know, we'll see what's going to happen with these guys. But I think that coaching situation is one of those things you look at and you're just not sure what to expect. They were 500 in the league last year. They have the talent to be better, but I'm just not sure what to expect. You know, that turmoil does matter. What's happening off the field does matter. Louisville. This is a team last year that really put it together in the postseason. Again, just 15-15 in their league, but they ended up making it to Omaha. And Dan McDonald obviously is a guy that's been there for a long time. I thought it was a statement for him, kind of like the don't sleep on the cards, we're back. They're going to return a strong nucleus of players too and should be one of the favorites in the ACC. No ifs, ands, and buts about that. Alabama at 19, I think this may be a little bit lofty. I like this Alabama team, but I thought there were some holes in this team. They needed some pieces. Now, Justin LeBron is back, will likely be one of the top shortstops taken, won't be the first guy, but I suspect he is one of those guys, too, that they will work and build around as they should, but they've got a lot of holes, I think. I think this team is probably less complete than last year. You don't have Riley Quick, who really emerged last year as a bona fide SEC weekend starter. Got the better of us over there, even though we won that series. But I think it's an interesting team. They were a road regional team last year. I suspect that's probably the case this year, too. Clemson lost in their regional last year, but this is a team, to me, it feels like they're just kind of bubbling up out there and kind of rising up the ranks in the ACC again, where maybe they could be a breakthrough Omaha team if they get the right draw in the NCAA tournament. Guys, this is a team that is consistently winning games and consistently finishing in the top half. They just need a couple of guys to have like career years to kind of push them. So they come in at 18, and then right behind them is, or out ahead of them, is Oregon State, who is still not in a conference, which I think is unfortunate. I don't know that anybody did a better job last year than that staff. You got to go out and you got to piecemeal the schedule together, and they did a great job of playing a lot of those mid-major baseball teams out there on the West Coast, RPI climbing top opportunities. It'll be a similar situation this year. Now, they got to replace a lot of pieces offensively. I mean, that's kind of what it is. But Oregon State, I think for those of us that love college baseball, we would agree they are the class of the West. I think they'll compete for that this year and maybe not be quite as good as maybe UCLA, but an interesting team that's having to work through some difficult circumstances because of the lack of a conference affiliation. And there's Miami, right there at 16. They went to Louisville last year. They win the Southern Miss Regional and then lose the Super at Louisville. This is a team that's always going to have pitching. But is it going to be elite pitching or just really good pitching? That always seems to be the case. You know, JD gets the job. A lot of people expected that to be the case. And I thought they were better last year, but they weren't great. Just 8 games above 500. They go 15-14 in the league. And I suspect it'll be somewhat similar this year. Of course, you know, they've got these RPI climbing opportunities with Florida and Florida State on a schedule every year. You got to take advantage of those. Vanderbilt at 15. I think these guys are overrated. Not significantly, but overrated. Now, they kind of proved me wrong last year by winning 19 SEC games, but then they lost in their own regional again. And as I have pointed out many times, since NIL has been legalized and implemented by the NCAA, Vanderbilt has not won an NCAA regional. That streak continues. Offensively, there have been some challenges. And I think on the recruiting side of things, there have been some challenges. When you don't have the advantages they once did, there's a bit of an issue. So they didn't get a lot of guys in the portal. So I think in many respects, it's going to look similar to what they were last year. I don't think they win 19, 20 games in the SEC, though. I do think that they're absolutely an NCAA tournament team. With the right draw and with a couple of good weekends, they could play their way into a hosting opportunity. Jonathan Vastine is probably an underappreciated player. Not there anymore, I don't know that their fans truly embraced him. I thought he was a guy that made them go when they had difficult times. Number 14, West Virginia. Ended up ranked 13th in the country in the postseason. Steve Sabins is a guy that was kind of a fringe candidate for Mississippi State. And we kind of knew what we wanted to do. We were going to go big game hunting, but Sabins was a guy that was out there too that has done some great things, but the body of work is not very extensive. How long will he stay at West Virginia? Is he a guy that could eventually end up moving south into an ACC or an SEC spot? I would suspect so. How committed is West Virginia to baseball? Good year last year, 44-16, 19-9 in the Big 12. But this is another team to watch, and I think Sabins is probably a guy that with another successful season could play his way into an ACC or an SEC job this year. 13, North Carolina. Eliminated in their own Super Regional again. It's just one of those things. They're having a tough time getting to Omaha again. And again, North Carolina historically has been one of the better programs in the ACC. They are committed to baseball there. There are a lot of teams within their state that haven't been, that are beginning to become more competitive. NC State, obviously, with Elliott and those guys, have done a great job there. Wake Forest, of course, has done some things creatively on the NIL side to make themselves more attractive. And now, all of a sudden, you know, Duke has emerged in recent years as a very difficult out in the NCAA tournament. So things are getting more competitive for North Carolina, and I think that's one of the reasons you haven't seen them make it to Omaha on a more regular basis, is because the in-state competition and some of their in-conference competition has begun to kind of elevate themselves. They'll have to replace, you know, Jake Knopp, the ace last year, one of the best pitchers in America. But it should be one of the better pitching rotations. That's just kind of how North Carolina is. They're kind of built around pitching. Florida State comes in at 12. I think they're a tad high. I think they are. I know how they ended the year. They lost us to the Super Regional at Corvallis. I know how we felt going down there. Now, they're going to have dudes. It's Florida State, right? But, man, the draft absolutely devastating to those guys. They had a ton of guys, including Jamie Arnold, who emerged as one of the best pitchers in the country last year. Great left-handed guy. So, rotation, going to take some hits. Bullpen, going to take some hits. They hit the portal a little bit. We'll kind of see what happens. You know, Link, I think, is a guy that has kind of restored Florida State as a contender again. But after we went and watched them play last year, I think even with the fact that we had some issues at times, I think most people feel like we could have found a way to win that regional, and we probably should have. I think from a pitching standpoint, we didn't perform maybe as high as we should have. But I think it was a veteran team at Florida State that that did a good job, you know, hitting mistakes. Number 11 is Arkansas. Now, this is down a little bit from what they normally are. This team won 50 games last year. But you better believe the Razorbacks are going to be right there in the middle of this thing. And they actually got a pretty good draw in the schedule. But, man, did they lose a lot, man. I mean, you talk about the draft just kind of changing the complexion of your roster. That's what happened to Arkansas. And the Arkansas curse absolutely lives, as you guys are well aware. I still can't get over the fact that poor kid kind of gets caught in between and the ball bounces off his back and goes in the corner against LSU. It's pretty crazy. But pitching-wise, they should be good. You know, Gabe Gackle expected to be a weekend starter. We faced him a couple years ago as a reliever. But it'll be interesting to see. I think Dave Van Horn is one of, if not the best coach in college baseball. They will be a competitive team, but it's going to be a much different team. And it's one of those things, too. I'm glad we're getting them early before they kind of figure things out. All right, number 10 is TCU. They get knocked out of the Oregon State Regional. Got some guys back. got some guys gone. But it's TCU, a baseball school, and really not a strong baseball conference. Yes, West Virginia is going to be good. There's going to be some teams out there that can play a little bit. But, you know, with Texas and Oklahoma leaving that league, it's kind of lost a little bit of its luster. So I think they'll be a good team within the Big 12. I don't know if they will be a true contender. Ranking 10th, I think, is a bit high. Number 9 is Virginia. To me, this seems high, just because of the losses. And you think about it, you know, they had a couple guys that stayed behind, but, you know, let's just be honest, kind of the nuts and bolts of this team is in Starkville now. And what didn't come to Starkville went to Tennessee. So you're replacing a lot. I think 9 is very lofty. They didn't make the tournament last year, and then they lose a huge portion of their production. I think 9 is too high. Georgia Tech at 8. And I've had some people tell me Georgia Tech may end up being an Omaha team because of the pieces that they return. And of the teams ranked in this top 25, they're the highest rated ACC team. So that kind of tracks. You know, I think you look at it, you say, you know what? That is a baseball crazy conference. And Georgia Tech last year, you know, had a couple of weekends that kind of got away from them. But they're a team that's got some dudes. And they will absolutely contend for the ACC crown. There's no question about that. Dylan Loy, obviously a guy that expected to make a nice jump for them. Could be one of the better pitchers in the country. Number 7 on the list is Tennessee. I think this is too high. Now, granted, they bring a few pieces back, but man, they lost a lot. You start thinking about, you know, that rotation. And then you lose Frank and you lose Tony, and you end up having to promote Josh Allender from within. And you wonder how much of this was Tony and how much it was Josh. Well, I would venture to say that most people that follow college baseball as closely as I do would say Ellender, great recruiter, but Tony and Frank did the majority of the coaching. How much of this develops this year for Ellender, you know, we'll see. And there were a lot of people that wanted him to be the Mississippi State head coach. And a lot of it's because of the success of profiling, recruiting, and developing players. Ellender was a part of that. He got to see it all up close. Tennessee will have enough talent to be in an NCAA tournament. Are they a host team? I don't know yet. I don't think anybody does. And it's all going to boil down to pitching. Number 6, Georgia. I think this may be a tad high, but I think this is a team, based on what they return, will be in the mix. I don't think there's much question about that. Wes Johnson's done a great job, an absolutely great job, but they didn't get out of their regional last year. And you're having an opportunity to host as an SEC team, as a team that was arguably one of the better teams in the conference for much of the year. I mean, they went 18-12 in the league, and they went 43 games, but they hit the portal hard again, and they're very, very portal reliant. And so it'll be interesting to see how quickly that team can gel. Number 5, and this is a team that really surprises me to have such a high ranking, but I do think they are absolutely a top 15 team, and that's Auburn. They get knocked out of the Super Regional last year, but man, the nuts and bolts of this team, by and large, were younger players. And so when you begin to think about kind of what this thing looks like, yeah, you lose Ike Irish, who was outstanding. Outstanding. But they've got some really young players that they're really excited about. Yeah, Chris Rembert is one. Chase Frelick is a guy. Got it, was a tennis player. It's got kind of an odd swing, you know. Bub Terrell, got it, was an outstanding second baseman for him. Had a big series against us in the final series of the Chris Lemonis era. It's all going to boil down to pitching. They hit the portal hard. They added some players, and we'll see how they develop. You know, Butch, obviously one of the best pitching coaches in the country. But they're going to have to put together a staff and kind of figure it out on the fly. They got to stay healthy. That's been a real issue. Number 4, your Mississippi State Bulldogs. I think most teams will, most polls will have Mississippi State ranked in the top 10 when they are released here around New Year's. You know, I think that's one of those things you look at. We'll probably be a preseason top 10 team, and I think that's fair when you consider what we return and what we have added, and the fact that so many of those additions are players that have relationships with Brian O'Connor. I think offensively we're going to be one of the better teams in the country. We need to grow up a little bit on the mound. We have in fall. You know what Ryan McPherson can do. Charlie Foster, a guy that was a little bit banged up last year, he's another guy we're excited about. You know, we'll see, you know, where Jack Bauer kind of handles his freshman year. Is he a back of the bullpen type guy? I suspect probably so. But I think this is a team that's going to be able to score. I think the biggest question for Mississippi State is just kind of figuring out those bullpen roles. Number three, in the eyes of Baseball America, is Texas. Great last year, 22-8. A lot of people thought going into the last weekend of the regular season that they'd have a great chance to be the number one national seed. This is a team that returns not intact. You know, they lost a handful of guys, obviously. You know, Gasparino being one, Jared Spencer one. But they return a lot of big names. Dylan Volantis got us twice. College freshman of the year last year. He will be a huge part of things. And I think Texas got a pretty good draw with the schedule. I think they're an Omaha team and a team that's going to contend for the SEC championship. Number two, LSU. There's a lot about this LSU team to like, and much of that is rooted in Jay Johnson and his ability to get guys in and get them going. But you lose basically the full weekend rotation. You know, Bear Jones is gone, thank goodness. Daniel Dickinson had a good year for him. But you're going to have to replace a lot of pieces. They feel like they've done that in the portal, and then we'll see. You know, chemistry is a big part of this thing. But let's be honest, LSU had the best 1-2 punch in the country last year on the mound. You know, with Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson. You know, Ianson's a guy that we chased and we couldn't get. He went to LSU, and that happens a lot. But I think this LSU team at number two is probably a bit high. They won the NAFL championship. They deserve to be rated high. But I think there are some question marks about this team. And that's why we played a season to kind of figure it out. Baseball America has UCLA as the number one team, a team that we'll see out in Texas in you know, the non-conference schedule as part of that great weekend at Globe Life. But incredible, incredible, incredible middle infielders. Incredible. You got to be strong up the middle. UCLA always tends to have pitching. They, if this year, will challenge Oregon State to be the class of the West. And I think this is one of those teams you look at, too, and you begin to kind of ask yourself, you know, can they handle, like, the rigor of playing a weekend against an SEC or an ACC team in a super regional? Well, chances are you're probably going to have to do it out there at Jackie Robinson Stadium, which is not necessarily a haven for baseball. You think it would be, but the crowds are much different. And I think that gives them an advantage. I don't know that this team could consistently go out there and play at, you know, at Starkville or Fayetteville or LSU and be able to pull this thing off. But the schedule, very favorable to them, and they're clearly the most talented team out in the West. So we'll see. And, again, we get a chance to go check those guys out fairly early in the season. So that's where we stand today. As we get closer, we'll kind of look at everybody else's stuff. And see where they have the Bulldogs. But I think you could expect your Bulldogs to be a consensus top team, top 10 team around the country in the eyes of, you know, the baseball opinion makers out there. I'm eager to see where D1 Baseball has them, because D1 Baseball does a tremendous job getting out in the fall and seeing teams play in person. And, again, I have not figured out how people rank or rate teams or players without actually seeing them play. It's an important aspect of baseball, is watching teams play baseball. So I think in the end we'll be a top 10 team, and we'll see how things go. And as you guys, we mentioned Hofstra, the first weekend, it's historic. It's the first series of the Brian O'Connor era. We expect to get that, and we turn right back around and we get Troy, Alcorn State, Delaware, going to open up on a big homestand and have a chance to do some good things. And on February 27th, we hit the road to Globe Life Field to take on Arizona State, Virginia Tech, and UCLA. And Virginia Tech was a team that made some racket last year. Not sure what to expect from them this year, but again, two teams that we're going to see that weekend that could prove to be kind of RPI climbers for us later in the year. We need a big weekend out in Arlington, and I look forward to seeing so many of you there. Neutral site games, and then first year road game comes against Southern Miss. So, you know, we're going to have a chance, number one, to kind of get our legs under us, and then we're going to play some real bona fide college baseball opponents toward the end of the non-conference schedule before we get into SEC play. Well, that's going to do it for today. Hope you guys have a great Monday. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com and you can get signed copies of all my sports titles and the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. You order now, you got a chance to get it before Christmas. And if you don't want to order, you can go out and find the degree bookstores all over the great state of Mississippi. Come float with us at True West Floats by Starkville. It has been a tremendous year, and we're having a tremendous holiday season year over year. It's you're heading into our second year. Things have been outstanding. Matter of fact, I had to tell the bride earlier this week, why don't you let's close up early Sunday night and go get out and go have a little fun. It's been double-digit floaters up to 20 every day for about 2 weeks now. And so happy that you guys are finding some benefit in floating. If you're a person that's wanting to try it, now's a great time. You get to buy one, get one free during the holidays. You got about 6 months to use those vouchers, so you don't have to do it immediately. But maybe you want to do it immediately. We've had a lot of those people that have turned into regular floaters and monthly members. If you're a person that suffers with chronic anxiety or pain, or maybe you just need a mental reset, we've got something that may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Visit TrueRest.com to get more information, or dial 662-268-7601 and speak directly to my wife, Dana, and she can answer any questions you may have. And we're still running the 50% off special at JeansPage.com. Give the gift of maroon. Give the gift of JeansPage. 50% off the annual subscription price. Of course, that gets you all through 2026 into bowl practices next year. And speaking of which, we'll have a chance to speak with Jeff Labby and selected players later this week, and we'll make that content for you for free over Gene's page. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.